Blog Talk Radio.
Speaking of back,
guessed it, Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel, back playing professional organized football, signing a 2-year deal with the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the Canadian Football League. 2-year deal. Now, here's the thing. Coach June Jones, who is a guru of five-receiver offense and Canadian-style offense, has already said that he's going to stay with the starter, Jeremiah Mazzoli. For those of you that don't remember Mazzoli, before there was Marcus Mariota at Oregon, there was Mazzoli. And Mazzoli was rumored to be a Heisman candidate, go win a national championship. He fell short on those goals and really was cut early in the NFL. But I got to tell you, in the CFL, he's making a name for himself. But Manziel's right on his heels. Now, let's look at the numbers from last night. The early numbers say Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, is getting it done. 9 of 11 for 80 yards. Now, didn't get any points. 5 drives, 0 points. As a matter of fact, the last 2 drives, he got sacked on third down, which in Canadian football, for those of you that don't know, unlike our brand of football here in the States, there are only 3 downs and not 4 downs. So Johnny Football looking well. He had a press conference afterwards. You know, he was kind of talking about, hey, give me a shot, and that sort of thing. But he seemed to be maturing. They did lose the game, by the way, but who cares? But they did lose the game, 36-18. It's Canadian preseason football. Let's not jump up and down. The third pay attention topic. Guess who else is back in all black with the purple braid coming out of the helmet, just peeking out just a little bit? You guessed it. Obstacles and adversity, Robert Griffin III, RG3. He signed a 1-year, $1.1 million deal with the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens already have Joe Flacco, right? $16 million a year quarterback, signed a long-term deal. I mean, they've got their starter. But they drafted Lamar Jackson, who's a very similar style of quarterback to RG3 when he first came out. But RG3's made some changes in his life, and I'm still pulling for him. One, he's remarried. He's married a heptathlete, and he's remarried. He's got his family still supporting him. He went out and hired 2 great track coaches to help get his running back to that Olympic brand of speed that he had when he came into the league, and then he hired a quarterback guru. So he's doing a good job. And anytime the head coach, John Harbaugh, says this, and I'm going to quote Harbaugh, he's a pro's pro. That's what he said about RG3. And he went on to say that RG3 is at the meetings early, he's at workouts early, he's doing everything early. And it just, you know, it's one of my favorite mantras, is to be early. You know, being early just, it sets you, you're a cut above. Now, RG3 had a quote, and he talked about Mike Tyson. And he sort of plagiarized Tyson when Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. That's true. All of us can say that. I mean, I've got a plan for my day-to-day until I get punched in the face, and that plan doesn't go the way I want it. But what RG3 said was, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face, but I'm still swinging. And I think that's what people like about him. This guy's been kicked around, knocked around. He reached a high level of football very, very quickly and basically owned D.C. There was no O.B., there was no Bryce. There was RG3, and to be quite honest with you, if RG3 came back to the Redskins and led them to a Super Bowl, he would be the man here in D.C. still. So for him to say he's still swinging, I think people pull for him. I know I'm one of them. So it's good to see him maturing, and we hope that that he does a great job with the Ravens. So those are topics that we could talk about all day long. However, we always pick one that's just, I mean, this is it. Like, this is the one thing that you got to pay attention to, and I'm sure you're not going to be surprised what it is. Well, it's the Washington Capitals, the save. Did anyone see game 2 the other night when Brendan Holtby made the save that is now being compared to the run that John Riggins made in Super Bowl 17, which it goes down in DC sports lore. How about this? They're bringing in Sting and Shaggy. Fallout Boy, coming to DC to play a little concert right out on the street. Pat Sajak from Wheel of Fortune? Are you serious? Wheel of Fortune, Pat, now he does live in Annapolis. I don't know if Vanna White's going to be with him, but he's coming out to do the hype game, the starting lineup. Now, I know a voice that could have done that for much cheaper than Pat Sajak. You could reach that voice at www.extrapointsllc.com if you're interested. 11,000 fans for a watch party one night, 14,000 fans the next night. There's no one on the ice. They're watching the screen, 14,000 people. Well, there are a million stories. Everybody's covering the Capitol. Everybody wants to know about the Capitol. But there's one story that I don't want to overlook. It is in the Washington Post. It got a small headline, but it's the story of Stephanie Chewing. Stephanie's a 21-year-old Northern Virginia college student. And she's making a name for herself. She started it in the Tampa series. She sits in section 433, and Stephanie pours beer on herself. Yeah, this is true. It's weird, but basically she was so excited when they beat the Tampa Bay team that she said, okay, you know, why don't I do this? And now it's kind of starting to stick. Now, I hope that I know that security is going to be, increased for tonight's game. And this is all fun, and this is what I mean. This city has gone gaga over the puck. It really has. I mean, you listen to Sports Talk Radio, listen to this show. I've talked about the Capitals more every week in build up to this. All the interviews, Ovechkin, Rock the Red, the news anchors are wearing red dresses and red ties and this and that. I mean, the buses, the Metro buses are plastered with Caps logos. Everybody has a sweater. And from what I understand, these sweaters are retailing at $225 a pop. That's a lot of money for what I would look at as a jersey. The tickets, have you looked at the tickets? The tickets just for a regular kind of seat in section 200, which is about mid-level, that thing's going for like thousands of dollars. You know, and don't go get a suite or don't go right down on the ice. You're talking about $10,000 for a ticket to a sporting event. But, you know, it's historic. The Cats have not been to a Stanley Cup since 1998, where they were swept by the Detroit Red Wings, who was a juggernaut that year. They've only been in existence for 40 years. You just think in 40 years they've done this twice, and they got their first win the other night against Vegas. So we'll see what happens. Of course, we talked about last week. I gave my prediction that I think that the Caps lose this game, this series in six. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I can tell you, this team showed some grit the other night, some real grit. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But what I'd like to do now, that's our pay attention topic for this week. Hope you enjoyed that. What I'd like to do now is shift gears, because there's another playoff, or should I say final, going on, and that's the NBA Finals. And, of course, when you got NBA Finals, you got to bring in the man. You got to bring in the guy that, you know, basically is the guru of all things basketball. But let's hit his intro music to make it feel warm and welcome, because it's been a few weeks. There we go.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Do you have your stripes on today, or are they hanging up just waiting for game three or game two of the NBA Finals?
Today they are hanging up, but actually I am waiting for game two on Sunday. And also I'll just say that I'll actually be doing something I haven't done this summer in like 20 years, which is actually working summer league basketball. So I'll be working on Wednesday at the Matha. So there you go.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. And definitely when we have you back, I want to talk a little bit about that, because that is really a slice of D.C. And, of course, I've got to give a shout out to our brothers and sisters in New York. Summer league basketball in those two cities is tradition. I mean, it's a hotbed. So I really want to get a segment with you on that. But before we do that, let us get your astute analysis on this finals. What do you think? What are you thinking? You got these two teams, Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors.
Well, first of all, I have to give it to Cleveland, because I really did not think they were going to get past Boston, although I think the last time I was on I did say you have to give Cleveland a fighters a puncher's chance, largely because they have LeBron and the Celtics didn't, and I think that was basically borne out ultimately as the series got to its conclusion. Unfortunately, I think I could say that this time and still be wrong, because I would say – Thursday was a prime example of, although LeBron did, you know, his Herculean best to carry the team to victory, and I don't say that to disparage his teammates, because they did get, you know, he did get some, you know, good support, Kevin Love and, you know, Tristan Thompson and others there. But at the end of the day, you know, the Warriors have three or four guys in a class like LeBron, versus having the king. So I think, you know, when you're outgunned 3 or 4 to 1, however you want to characterize it, it's a difficult slog. Having said all that, I got to say I was actually very surprised that the game was as close as it was, and I did think once it got to overtime it was basically going to go the way that it did. But, you know, the thing that was funny is that J.R. Smith happened to be sort of the GOAT and not the greatest of all time in this case.
Well,
for that
he's taken a beating. And we've all flubbed. You know, I can remember being on the sideline and I totally had a rule wrong where I ended up declining the penalty, and instead, even though the penalty was on the other team, because I declined it, we didn't get the yard, and we missed the field goal, and we lost the game. I mean, that was totally actually, let me take it back. We didn't lose the game. We were close. And so that's, you know, everybody has those flubs. Let me ask you about another flub, because you already answered my question about LeBron, so I don't need to go into that anymore. But my next question to you was, is this a flub to the NBA that these same teams are playing four years in a row? I was listening to some conversation the other day where people were saying that this hockey is fresh because of the storyline of, you know, maybe the veteran franchise who hasn't been there in 20 years, they get to go with their rabbit fan, and then the expansion team, and it's a fresh story. But this story is rather old, stale, whatever you want to call it. Is this a flub for the NBA? Do they have to figure out how to break this up, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a good question, and I'm not sure I have a good answer, but I'll say this. As a Knicks fan, you know, I probably wouldn't have wanted to see the Celtics in the championship, you know, in the finals again, because, you know, not that the Knicks are competing with the Celtics in the foreseeable future, but, you know, the point is you really don't want to see a team that's perceived as your arch rival getting another shot where you continue to wallow in, you know, in ineptitude. So I was sort of torn there. I am interested largely because you do have this irresistible object that seems to be the Golden State Warriors, who can win their third championship in 4 years, or the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron, who obviously came back to try to do what he's trying to do now with the Cavaliers team that's clearly much more flawed than not only the Warriors, but probably any other Cavs team he's been on in recent years, aside from the, you know, team he joined when he was drafted. So, but I think the fact that there was a very competitive game on Thursday will say to you that this is probably going to be a far more interesting series than anyone believed before it began. And I think it's largely because we can think about the Warriors. Are the Warriors actually playing hard or focused the whole 48 minutes? Because, you know, maybe do they feel like they have it in the bag, they just have to turn it on at a few key moments of the game? So I think the fact that this was a very competitive game may send a signal to the Warriors that, hey, this ain't going to be as easy as you might have thought. And I'm not suggesting that that's their attitude, but I think if people like us were thinking it's going to be a blowout, then it may not be. And, you know, I don't know if LeBron can 250 points or 50 games, you know, 50 a game basically, every night, is that sustainable for him? I don't think it is, but I think only time will
tell. Well, I don't think it is. Yeah, I don't think it is either. However, you know, when I look at other sports, I think there's something to be said about dynasty. And, you know, you look at the Steelers, yeah, your team of the 70s. When you look at in the 80s, you know, arguably the Redskins were probably the team of the 80s. When you look at the 90s, the Cowboys, the 49ers, the team of the 90s. You look at Mike Tyson. I mean, Tyson went on this streak, yeah, of just knocking people out. It was must-see TV that it was basically Tyson against whoever, and you watched it. And so, to me, you know, in this NBA, I think especially when you go with a 4 out of 7, right, a 4 out of 7, that's just that. There is no fluke here. These are the two best teams in the league. I guess my concern is, once you get to the finals, and it goes back to what you said, it's one superhuman versus kind of 2.5 superhuman in this super team. You know what I'm saying? And so they'll never win that. I don't know. So let me ask you this question. You saw game one. You probably were a little surprised, as I think most of us were. When I look at what LeBron's got with him, Tristan Thompson, some of the others, George Hill was scared to death to shoot free throws. But we got at least 3 more games left. How do you see this playing out over the series? And I guess I'm subtly asking you for a prediction here, but how do you see this playing out going even break to game 2 and so forth?
So, I would say this. I think Sunday's game is probably not going to be close for a couple of reasons. I think, number one, the Warriors are going to come out with a little more intensity, a little more focus, realizing that they probably got away there with a victory that they may not have deserved. And I'm not suggesting they didn't play well. I think in general terms they did. I think overall the Cavs probably played a little better given the fact the game was so close. I will say, if Cleveland's going to win any games, I do think they'll win a game. It's going to be at home. So my prediction would be Warriors in 5.
So now, if you've got Warriors in 5, but you've got arguably the greatest, the GOAT in basketball, the chances of the GOAT winning an MVP are pretty slim, right, because he's going to be on the losing end. So who do you have? That's another prediction here. But who do you have as, you know, really somebody that's kind of head and shoulders above everybody else and walks away with the most valuable players award in this final?
I was sort of prepared for you to ask me that, and I'll just say this, and maybe I'll answer the question with a question for you. Who do you think was the best player on the floor Thursday?
Well, I mean, By numbers, to be honest with you, I thought Draymond Green was very valuable. He almost had a triple-double, but he does the stuff that Rodman used to do that's not attractive.
Right.
So I'd have to go with Steph Curry. I thought Steph Curry, made timely baskets, made all his free throws. You know, he led that transition game like no tomorrow. I would probably say Steph Curry. Then you could argue Kevin Durant. You know, it's tough. It's tough.
Well, so here's how I would evaluate, and I think in this case, this is a clear indication of how you could do this. And I'm going to suggest this. If we were to subtract Kevin Durant from the Warriors, would they still win in this series? Or Steph Curry? Or Draymond Green? Or Klay Thompson? I would argue that if you took one of them off, with the possible exception of KD, the Warriors would still win. However, if you took LeBron off the Cavaliers, this might as well be 100-50.
Well, and you know what?
So
with that being said, no, I agree with everything you said right there. The only thing I disagreed with was you pronounced Steph Curry's name properly, and I said his brother Seth, so I meant Steph. But here's what I think: if you take Durant off the team, I don't think they beat Cleveland. But if you take any of these others, I think they do. So then maybe that's your argument.
Yeah, and that's right. That's my argument. I would argue that maybe the Warriors would lose without KD only, but I think in every other situation, the Warriors find a way to win. I don't see – there's no way Cavaliers win without LeBron. So I would say that this could be the first time in at least recent memory that the MVP comes from the losing team. Because I just don't see how – yeah, I'm serious. I mean, unless KD or Steph or who we've already mentioned does something so extraordinary that it's evident. And I just, you know, I think though LeBron with 50 points, look, I have to give it to him. I'm a LeBron fan now, and I'm not saying I put him above Michael Jordan because I don't, but he's earned my respect. And he certainly earned my respect on Thursday with the kind of performance he had. Because he, you know, basketball is not the sport where one player is going to win the game for you. It's certainly not at the NBA level. Okay? It's just impossible. You need support from other places. He got support from other places, and the game got away from him. But without 50 from LeBron, they're not winning, at least not game one.
Well, it's not even close. And you're listening to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm the coach, Keith Howard. And, of course, we have with us super referee Craig Muckle. And, Craig, I got to ask you, you're coming off a very successful golf tournament. So I'm going to shift gears on you. We got about 2 minutes. Tell me about this Tiger Woods yesterday at the Memorial. They said that Tiger is back. And I'm like, I've heard this song and dance before. That Tiger's back. He's not back. There's no way that he's back. So tell me about Tiger. What do you think?
Okay, I thought Tiger played the tournament before that he was in, that he basically made a huge charge and was actually in the mix there for quite some time on Sunday. You know, he's close. And is he back? Well, it depends what you think is back. If you think he's back being competitive, I think he's back in that regard. He's generally competitive. I think if we're looking for the Tiger Woods that we know before he became, you know, injured and had all the other issues befall him, then he's not there yet. And I guess, is this a matter of managing our expectations as fans and as Tiger Woods followers, if for those of us that fall into that category, Are we managing our expectations of what we're going to get? I personally think if he gets his mental game back, he can be that dominant player for a few more years that he was when he left. And because I'm a firm believer of, if your mental game is better than your competitors, your physical game does not have to be top flight. Because in the stuff that I do, I believe I will beat you because I will prepare myself mentally better than you. I do believe you can put your mind a little bit over your matter to succeed. I think that's where Tiger separated himself. He was so tough mentally. I think right now he's not there yet because he doesn't know how his body's going to respond. He doesn't know if he can execute the shots he could execute before under pressure, because that's really the difference. It's one thing to execute when you're relaxed. It's another thing to execute under pressure. And I think if you've been an athlete or participate in sports in anything, it doesn't matter what the level of physicality is. If your mental game is faltering, you're not going to succeed. And I don't care what kind of talent you have. Michael Jordan would not have been Michael Jordan without the kind of mental game he brought to the table. And I would say,
well,
look at anyone top flight. Regardless of their mental, regardless of their physical skill, it was their mental game that separated them to make them great. And until Tiger,
well,
I think that's where Tiger's problem is.
Well, speaking of mental game, it takes a lot to go out in a black and white striped shirt and be booed and jeered by people that don't even know you. And you've been doing that for so long at a high level. I think there's only one or two words that could describe it. So I'm going to go ahead and hit those two words right now. Super Referee Craig Muckle, always a pleasure having you on. We're going to try and get you right back next week and keep talking NBA Finals. Is that good?
I absolutely appreciate it. I'd love to do that.
And we'll send you out the right way. Nobody really knows who you are. Kids, family, his professional career, man. Good job, Michael Referee Craig Muckle. And we switch over from him. We could take a break, but why take a break? Why do that? We can just keep right on rolling, and rolling is what we're doing. And the Cavs are absolutely rolling. They're in the Stanley Cup playoff. They are tied up 1-1. They got a home game tonight. And I don't know if anyone knew this, but the Washington Mystics, our WNBA local team, actually changed the time of their home game for Game 5 of the Cavs of the NHL Finals. They were supposed to play the Minnesota Lynx at 7:05. But because of the watch party, because the Caps are going to be in Vegas, right? So the Caps are going to be in Vegas for Game 5, if there is a Game 5. There will be a Game 5. That's right, because we've already played 2. So the Mystics decided to schedule their game to 4 so that the Caps fans can have a watch party. Now, this made me do some further digging in preparation for Fit with Joy. We're about to bring her in, Joy Henry, to talk about this Mystics dynamic. It's mystical. The Mystics drew 7,400 people for their home opener, 4,500 for – they played Vegas. They played a Vegas team, 4,500 for that, and then Minnesota Lynx, who I think won the championship, and they drew 5,700. They barely in 3 home games average more than a watch party for the Cavs. Is there a story here? Am I missing something? Let's bring in Fit with Joy, Joy Henry. Joy, are you there?
Fit with Joy here. Thanks for having me, Coach.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, what's going on here? You heard me talk a little bit about, I know everybody's excited about the Cavs, and I always like to give the ladies some love and some shine. I try to treat women's sport equal to men. Is there a story going on here? What am I missing? Tell us what's on your mind, WNBA Mystics. What's on your mind?
Well, if you look at it, the ownership is with My Mental Sports Entertainment, that being Ted Leonsis. So he has both of these teams in this arena, and as far as the Caps are going, this is historical. So you got to go with that. And they're going to push their game up to 4 p.m. as opposed to the 7 p.m. original tip time.
I mean, is that okay? Now I know that they're going to leave the arena open. So the Mystics fans, if you go to the Mystics game, you can stay for the watch party. I get it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, is this okay? Am I missing something? Am I missing here?
Well, it appears that because of the notoriety and everyone is pumped in this town for the Cavs and going on that Stanley Cup push, that, in a sense, they did kind of push the Mystics to the left a little bit, but in a way, as I said, it's underneath the same ownership. I believe that this may drum up some notification for the Mystics, in a sense. If they're trying to get some good seats and people know that this is a free watch party, people might come out early. They might purchase tickets to see the Mystics play. And they're coming off of a playoff stint last year, and it's been more and more of a fan base that has continued to generate so much of more people coming to the game.
Wow. So tell me what this WNBA, you heard me rattle off some numbers here. It just doesn't seem to be catching the fire, but yet it's been around for years. I mean, over a decade old.
Right.
What's the deal with this 20 plus years.
20 years. The first player was Cheryl Swoopes. She was the big thing, close to Michael Jordan for the women. And she had her own sneaker, the Swoops, the Nike Swoops. She was on the Olympic team. At that time, in 1996, with the first inaugural season, you had a couple of names that were big. Not just her, but her teammate, Cynthia Cooper, who went on to become an MVP, and they both are in. And there is a women's basketball Hall of Fame, that is. So there was a big fan base back in the day when it first came about, and people would be surprised that it was 1 million. The 1 million fans for that inaugural season, and it did kind of wane from the year. So just coming off of this last season and being able to get back to a better base of people consistently watching, and the average of being 7,000, it's not comparable in a sense to a watch party for the Caps, but the dynamic is totally different. Playoffs, the second round or so, but they haven't gotten to the height where the Capitals are now.
So what do you contribute to the, you know, that great popularity at the beginning? It's new. Of course, everybody wants the shiny new car. And then it just goes away and it wanes. Like, what do you contribute that to? Is it not good? Is it not entertaining?
Well, it's just that. It's the newness. I want to be a part of something. If you look at another team that Ted Leontis had acquired and brought about, got some people in the stands, and that was last year with the Valor. There were about 15,000 or so people lined up for that first opening game, and those, in a sense, have started to wane. So it's not just about bringing about a team and an expansion in that sense. And if you look on the other side, when we're talking about the Caps and who they're playing, Vegas. Nobody thought that Vegas would draw people to watch a sporting event, maybe to bet on one, but to actually physically sit and watch, as opposed to all the other shows on the Strip. They're showing and they're proving their doubters and their naysayers otherwise. And that's just pretty much what it is. It's just about sustaining that game, that interest and that attention span, especially nowadays with the instantaneous gratification of social media.
But, I mean, they've had some real, you know, great names. Jamiqua Holdsclaw, you know, Tennessee, was an NCAA All-American, Nikki McCray. I mean, it just 7,500 people for the opener. I mean, that's not even half of what the Caps had for a watch party. I don't get it. What about nationally? You know, I know what's going on with the Mystics, but nationally, is the game popular? I see it on television.
Yeah, like I said, consecutively the attendance has went up. It had a few years of struggles. Again, it was a million fans in number of a base when the inaugural season came about in 1996, 1997, and they struggled for some time, and then they unleashed different kind of things. Because at first, the whole entire slogan was, who got next? We got next. You know, that kind of sense. And comparison to the NBA and allowing women to have the opportunity, going off of Title IX and that kind of ability. But now it's gone to, we got next. We are here. We got game. You know, and that kind of understanding is that we can play too, give us the same opportunities. But if you stand that there's wage gaps, not just in the professional office corporate world, but also in the courts, on the field. And there's no, if you want to talk about hockey, there is no women's hockey that has the same clout. They went in and won the actual championship just recently, the USA women's team. But you would think that there's some kind of league, a professional money-generating league, but that hasn't been the case.
Now, you bring up a good point, and we're listening to Joy Henry on the Extra Points Radio Show. You bring up an interesting point that the WNBA, you know, is on mainstream television. I mean, you don't see hockey or football or some of these other women's leagues making it. Now, let me ask you this question, though, and this is going to be a tough question for you, because you're a former track athlete, as I know, well-documented. Track still comes on television a lot, but you got to find it. It doesn't get the press and really the prestige in this country that maybe it does in some others. How does something like track and tennis, more individual sports, swimming and diving, those individual sports, how do they compare to the team game of the WNBA when it comes to, you know, popularity in our culture today?
Well, rightfully so. It has that worldwide appeal. Again, you said it. Some other countries, track and field is it. There's no need to pick up a ball. You just need your feet, might not even need shoes for some time, and you're going. And so that tenacity, that story, the push behind it, that anybody in a sense can do it, it draws that national appeal. People want to be behind it to go for the countryman. Now, and a countrywoman in a sense. But with basketball, there is an international approach just as much as men's basketball has. So, and interesting enough, the fitness aspect would be men will take off, they'll probably go, and they say all the time, they don't make it to the playoffs or they don't go to the next round, they're going to Cancun or they're going somewhere in Mexico. That's their thought process. But LeBron James, in the height of his career, as he's aging, he's getting better like wine, he's going and working out. He's making sure that he's fit and continues to keep his body in that shape. And in a sense, that's what the women do. The women in WNBA, they go overseas. They go and get – that's actually how they make their money. So it's the dynamic that's funny in the sense of what people are following and where the money is, where the dollars and where the sponsors and endorsements and that kind of fan base. It's a little – it's not a little. It's way different.
So can you elaborate on that wage difference? You mentioned the wage difference once or twice, and I know in our country, in corporate America, there's an ongoing debate, conversation, argument around the difference in wages between the genders. I know that there's a difference between an NBA player and his contract, his wages, versus a WNBA, but how grossly dramatic is the difference?
Oh, it's astronomical. Now, if you want to talk about that strictly in terms of percentage, they make 20% off of an NBA player's salary, okay? And essentially, if you want to talk about real-life terms, the regular Joe Schmoes who play the couch potato, they're not level, the prime of any kind of game, they just are trying to stay in shape and beat the bulge, that's $50,000. They make $50,000 on average, okay? So there you have it.
Well, in some of these cities, like the D.C. or the New York, they have the Liberty, I believe it is. Is that correct? The New York Liberty?
Yeah, it is correct. Yes, Lady Liberty.
Okay. So in some of these cities, you can't afford to live at that wage. So are you suggesting that some of these ladies may have to take on an off-season job?
That's exactly what I'm saying, in a sense of that fitness level. So there's no, in a sense, off-season for them. They make their money overseas in these other countries. They'll go to China or they'll go to Yugoslavia or that kind of thing and make that money and come back here, and this is kind of like a summer job, if you will. This is something that is fun. You get to see your family or be back in the States and kind of get that brand and be with your friends, but the real money making is overseas and internationally.
So now let me ask you this question, because if it's entertaining, people will pay for it. So I got to ask you, just straight shooting, is this entertaining? I mean, I watch WWE twice a week. It's very entertaining. I probably watch 5 hours a week of something that's scripted, choreographed, and sometimes with not very fit people. And I love it. I laugh and all that. Is this game really entertaining to people or no?
Well, there's always a market in a sense for particular entrants. So if you have it where, again, the inaugural season, it's following behind the NBA, they got the Michael Jordan for the women, and it's the Houston Comets, and you have that duo with Scottie Pippen, so you got Cynthia Cooper, and you got Cheryl Swoops, then you got a whole bunch of people like, whoa, I didn't know. Women can play. They got game. So that whole slogan, it's a big machine that has to kind of generate that notoriety. And it's a different world we're in, where social media takes mold. And then there's so much time that people have for their attention span to stay on with something. Then where there are more women and the ability to play, but it's more of the – it's convoluted. The NFL is taking over as the American sport as opposed to where baseball was. People now want baseball to be quicker, you know, and they're trying to get the millennial fan base to be in tow and know that this is something that your parents did, your parents' parents did, and it's just an experience. You go to the ballpark, you get a Frank, but they don't want to slow their ability to chew on the field and spit out sunflower seeds and just, in a sense, willy-nilly into, whoa, there's a home run and it's over there so they can't catch it. They want to be a part of the action. They want to see it live and direct. And I think that the way that the market is, and again with the new instance, not new, but the coming of age and the different ways that people view games, that's going to be big. So maybe, I don't know, they have to do some kind of gaming. They have to do some kind of gambling. I mean, you have the Las Vegas Aces, who the Mystics just lost to, so hopefully that's not reminiscent of what's going to happen in the men's different applicable cities, but in a sense that you have to have some kind of fantasy behind it. Like, the football has a fantasy every year where people are winning money. The NBA DraftKings, the DraftKings or FanDuel. So it's like you have to kind of create another market where people are invested in it.
Listen, the fifth of George, your Henry knows our WNBA. I love the gaming plus social media model. I love that. We've got two more minutes left in this segment. What else? You've given us a thorough education on all things WNBA. What else would you want our listening audience to know about the league that impresses you or depresses you?
Well, I will add on to just the gaming, the esports and the gambling, where people are placing bets on all things from not just actual players but horses. So maybe they grow their fan base or their market in that sense. But also maybe reality shows. They seem to just get people propelled in their career. And with social media, maybe they can have a Facebook Live or something, or just bringing people into a world. People want to know. We are nosy. We are fear of the unknown, so if you don't give us all that we want, then we kind of go by the wayside and we're no longer interested. So as you talked about WWE, and it kind of doesn't have the athlete, but then they have the theatrics. People love drama. I'm not saying that they should go out there fisticuffs. You saw in the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers at the end of the game. They're already losing, but Tristan Thompson is just like, woo, he's throwing balls to the wall. He's throwing everything because he's just like fed up in a sense. But then everybody's thinking, well, what did Draymond Green say to him? Did it have anything to do with off-the-court things? Tristan Kardashian's in a sense. So maybe there needs to be a story. You talked about stories earlier. it needs to be a story that people are following. We had Brittany Griner at one point where she had issues in her dating and her marriage, and then she had children, or if she has custody. So it's like people, in a sense, unfortunately, that just needs to be it. Maybe the drama. They need to probably have a reality show somewhere, somehow.
Well, I think that goes into the mix. I mean, I think that's part of the overall plan. And great job. Great reporting. Simply Joy Henry. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, if you stay with us, we're going to come back and look at predictions and see how we do for this week. Can you join us back for predictions?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Very good. All right. Chuck's going to take us on a quick break. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show.
Game in Vegas, and the Caps feeling that the Knights off of one and being able to come and even the score. So 1-1, they're coming back home. This is going to be their first game back in Capital One Arena. I think they're going to capitalize on that and run with it. Just going to go for the Caps. So I'm with the Rock and the Red today.
I'm rocking the Red, too. I got the Caps over Vegas. Braves are in first place in a critical series in Atlanta. The Nets have not showed up. What say you, Braves, Nets in Atlanta? What say you?
I'm going to go with the homers again. I think with this all Caps, everything, I think it's all D.C. The family is here. They're going to be rooting for the Caps. They're going to go out there, and they're going to get on that. And I don't want to say bandwagon, but they're gonna be on, and they're gonna go for it. So I'm with the Caps. I'm with the Nats. So Caps, Nats.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that one. The Nats did not even score a run last night. That really, really concerns me. Now, here's what I do believe: they're getting healthy. They're getting guys back. I think by the time they come away from Atlanta, come back home for a little homestand, I think the new guys, or the veterans, old guys that were injured, we'll get back, assimilate into the batting order, and we'll be just fine. How about this one now? Right up the road in Baltimore, where the Orioles are off. And while I've been really supportive of Buck Showalter, this team's lost six straight. They're looking just terrible. The Yankees are in town. Aaron Judge hit one last night. What say you, Yanks at Orioles?
Well, as a New Yorker at heart, the verdict is in. I'm just going to go with the Yankees. It's no-brainer. The verdict is in.
It is a no-brainer.
Judge is going to go for another one.
It is a no-brainer.
Out of this world.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It's a no-brainer. And as a New Yorker would say, get out of here. I mean, the Yankees are so much better than the Orioles right now. It's not even funny. So, those of you listening in New York, your Yankees will win today. Take it to the bank. How about this one now? Golden State, Cleveland, NBA Finals. We know what happened to JR. I mean, who shot JR, I guess, is what we should be saying. What say you in the NBA Finals? Game two.
I'm hoping that he can bounce back from that and be able to show the team that was a little bit of a blunder, but he's gonna bring it. And I like the underdog story. I like that. That to me brings it more of a Rocky Balboa or whatever you want to call it. And they're going at it again. It's four times in a row, and it has to make for some entertainment. It has been. So thanks for that, Tristan Thompson and Draymond Green. And they didn't do any suspension, so they got everybody back out there. So hopefully they can go ahead and get one evened up. So I'm going with the Cavs on this one.
I'm going to side with Super Referee Craig Monk on this one. I got Golden State by 20 at least. It'll be a blowout. Hey, great show this week. Fitly joined Joy Henry very quickly. Where can people reach you?
Well, quick Fit with Joy tidbit. This upcoming Wednesday is Global Running Day. That's June 6th. So I will be at Lululemon in Arlington starting at noon. So get your sneakers, get whatever makes you comfortable, and just go out there and enjoy the day. And then if you have any questions about what to bring or how to get ready for it, how to run, if that's what you need, then you can hit me up on Twitter at Joy Hilarity. And that's spelled Hilarity. DM me if you have any questions, and that's where I'll be.
Very good. And as always, the extra point is up.
And it is good.